last season, my wife got me watching that hit TV show, The Biggest Loser. Do we have any Biggest Loser fans that are here today? All right, I normally don't watch television shows like that, but my wife got me onto that. It's a really interesting television program. In fact, they just kicked off the new season just a couple of weeks ago. And every season they pick 16 different contestants that have a huge struggle with being overweight. They pick some of the largest people, some of the people that are the most frustrated with their physical appearance and their own health, and they put them on a rigorous diet and a workout regimen that is extremely difficult. And through the end of the show, each one of the contestants is trying to lose a higher percentage of body fat than the other contestants, and then ultimately the winner is the one that loses the most weight. And it's really amazing to see these people. They come on the show, and many of them they're frustrated because they've done everything that they know to do to lose weight, and they've tried everything, and they're not really confident, and they're just frustrated, they're depressed, they have all kinds of other physical ailments that come with being so overweight. And yet, as the television program progresses through the entire season, you begin to see people become more healthy and more confident, and you see the progress that they make. And then ultimately, the final contestants, they look like models. I mean, by the end of the season, I mean, they're ripped, they're toned, they're in shape. I mean, it's amazing to see what a good diet and what these workouts can do actually for a person. And today we want to talk about not just the physical side of what it means to be the greatest, the biggest loser, but we want to talk about in the spiritual realm how we can be the biggest loser. Now, this is a great television show about how people lose weight, but you know what? Every single one of us that has come into this room this morning is carrying around burdens. We're carrying around the weight of the world in many regards in our own spiritual lives. And today we want to talk about how we can lighten our load. How can we begin to release the burdens of our lives, the things that dominate our spiritual lives, the things that keep us from reaching our full potential in Jesus Christ, and the things that really divide us and keep us from achieving everything that God wants us to achieve in our lives. And these burdens and things begin to consume us and to dominate our lives. They begin to hold us back from really what God wants us to be. So in our time together this morning, we're going to spend our time talking about how we can be the biggest loser. How can we lose the burdens of this world that dominate our lives? And how can we lighten our load? Now, a lot of people try and deal with the burdens of life through religion. And today we're going to talk about religion in terms of a negative connotation. Sometimes people use religion in a variety of different contexts, but today we're going to define religion as something that's negative. And let me give you a couple of examples about what I'm talking about. In your outline there, if you want to take out your sermon notes, I've given you a chart about the difference between a relationship and religion. And the reason this is so important is because if we're going to lose the burdens of life, we have to get connected to Jesus Christ. It's all about the relationship that we have with Him. But unfortunately, many people turn to religion to try to cope with the stress and the worry and the anxiety and the burdens that they feel. And ultimately, it leads to a cheap substitute for what a relationship with Jesus Christ really can and will be in our life. So look at your outline there. The goal of religion is to reach out to God. You know, it's man's attempt to try and reach up to God. And ultimately, religion is our attempt to try and get to God. But a relationship is the exact opposite. The relationship with Jesus Christ is God reaching out to us. And that comes by His grace. It's trusting fully in Jesus Christ and then living to please Him rather than trying to reach out to God in and on our own initiative. Well, what's the means? The means of religion is diligent service. You know, I'm going to put more elbow grease into it. I've got these burdens. I'm going to read more self-help books. I'm going to be a better person. I'm going to smile harder. You know, those kind of things. But a relationship with Christ leads us to confess our sins and then yield our life to Christ. Okay, it's totally different. It's not about our self-help efforts, and it's not about what we can accomplish. It's about what God can do in us, what God can do through us. What's the power? Well, the power of religion is good, honest effort and self-determination. You know, again, I'm going to try harder. But the power of a relationship is the Holy Spirit controls and directs our lives. In other words, we're not leaning on our own strength to let go of these burdens that we feel, but we're letting the Holy Spirit come into our lives and to free us and to liberate us and to do something in and through us that we cannot do in and of ourselves. The control of religion is self-motivation, self-control. You know, a lot of people say, man, if I just was more self-motivated, you know, if I could just have more self-control, and ultimately we feel guilty because of that. But a relationship with Christ is all about letting the Holy Spirit direct our lives. And in the end, the result is, for religion, is apathy and failure and chronic guilt and eternal separation from God. But a relationship with Jesus Christ is the exact opposite. The result is love, joy, peace, freedom, power, and eternal life in heaven. So all of what Jesus taught about releasing our burdens is about a relationship. Everything we're talking about this morning is all about your relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Okay? And in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 to 30, Jesus begins to unlock the secret of releasing our burdens. He begins to talk about the power of this relationship. So in our time together, I want us to focus our hearts and our minds on Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 to 30. And if you need to follow along with where we're going today, there's a Bible that's underneath your chair that you can pull out and follow along with where we're headed this morning, as well as you can look at your outline. But today we want to see how a relationship with Christ is the key to overcoming life's burdens. There's not one need that you have this morning that a relationship with Jesus Christ cannot minister to you and encourage you. Okay? And Jesus begins in Matthew 11, 28, where he says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Jesus begins by saying, "Come to me." And that's the first thing that we see in the passage as it unfolds. Jesus begins talking about this relationship, and he invites his hearers to come to him. Now notice, a lot of times we think, well, you know, if I've got a burden or a problem, I need to work harder. I need to put more effort into it. I need to do more. And a lot of times we substitute do, and we use the word do instead of the word come. But Jesus says, come to me. In other words, relationship. Jesus is inviting people to himself. He's not saying, hey, you need to work harder. You need to achieve more. You need to be more disciplined. No, he begins and he says, now, just come to me. Come to me, all of you who are weary and all of you who are burdened, and I will what? I will give you rest. I will give you rest. But it begins in this relationship, right? At our last church, we led this family to the Lord. This whole family became followers of Jesus. It was awesome. And the wife came to me one day and she said, "Now, I've never really been in church before. I went to Catholic school, but never been in church really." And she said, "I've been here for about a year. This has been a great experience. But I'm waiting for you to give us all the rules. You know, what are the rules around here? I thought the church was all about the rules. And she was like, "Nobody here seems to be preaching and teaching all the rules. And I just want to make sure everything's okay." And I said, "Absolutely, everything's okay." I said, let me kind of put this in perspective for just a minute. And I began to explain to her the power of a relationship with Jesus Christ versus just trying to work harder. Now, isn't it amazing? Once we begin to get in relationship with God, once we begin to establish this relationship with Christ, then the rules just begin to fall into place. Those things just begin to be kind of the natural outcomes of relationship. You know, I don't have to work to know that I need to love and serve my wife. Why? I have a relationship with her. That's natural for me to want to do that, right? That just comes out of the relationship. But oftentimes what we do is we get the rules before we get the relationship, and we find ourselves being dominated by religion rather than this relationship with Jesus Christ. And by the way, that's what being a follower of Christ is really all about. It's really all about the relationship. And when we begin there, it begins to transform our whole perspective. Jesus says, listen, if you want to get rid of the burdens of life, come to me. This is invitation. It's a relationship, he says. And Jesus can't help us if we don't come to him. Now here he says, come to me. And the invitation that he extends to all of us is to leave our burdens, our sin, our guilt, our shame, our problems, our fears, our struggles, our doubts, our goals, our dreams, all of that, everything, and to bring that to him. And we give it all to him, and it's a never-ending process. And if we come and we begin to bring that to the Lord, then the Bible says that we begin to find rest. Now, here's why this is so important. Jesus was speaking to an audience of people that were dominated by the Jewish religious system being taught by the Pharisees. Now, the Pharisees were the Jewish scribes. They were the religious leaders of the biblical world. They were the people that were the teachers of the law. They would teach at the synagogue. They were the enforcers of Judaism. And they hated everything that Jesus Christ was about. In fact, if you read the Gospels, you'll see this constant conflict between Jesus and the Pharisees. The reason there was so much conflict is because Jesus was all about the relationship, but the Pharisees were all about the rules. And what they had done is they had taken the teachings of Moses in the Old Testament, and they had taken the Ten Commandments and the other teachings there that we find in the Hebrew Scripture, and they had added on all these other rules that they had made up by themselves. Now, we know that one of the Ten Commandments is that we should keep the Sabbath day and keep it holy. In other words, we need to rest. And the Jewish Pharisees even took that commandment, and they added 39 different rules on top of that. And so people were not even allowed to cook food on the Sabbath day, according to the Pharisaical teaching. Well, when Jesus comes on the scene, he begins to call the Pharisees out. He begins to emphasize this relationship rather than all of these hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of rules that were man-made and that were developed by the Pharisaical teachings that dominated the religious landscape of the New Testament. And so we find this constant conflict here between Jesus and the Pharisees. In fact, in the Gospel of Mark, the Pharisees are all bent out of shape because Jesus' disciples weren't washing their hands before they ate. In another place in the Gospels, the Pharisees were mad that Jesus' disciples had plucked grain on the Sabbath day. You know, and Jesus is like, well, they're hungry. You know, what are they supposed to do? You know? And we see all of this that kind of unfolds even up to the crucifixion, because the Pharisees were very much wanting Jesus to be sentenced to death. They didn't want him teaching this new perspective, this new thought that being a follower of the Lord came through a relationship and not through a bunch of rules. But that's for another time. The application that this drives home to us is that Christianity is a relationship with Jesus Christ, and it is not about a program or a system or about even following a human leader. It is us getting our lives in touch with him. And being a Christian is all about the relationship. Now, the problem with the Pharisees is they were religious, but they weren't spiritual. Now, that's a problem. And I've grown up in church my whole life, and I'm really thankful that I've had a Christian upbringing and Christian parents, and I've had some great mentors in my life that have mentored me. And I've been in church a long time. I mean, I was in church since I was a very little baby. And so I've been around a lot of Christians. I've been around some amazing people of faith that I've learned a ton from. But I'm telling you, I've also been around some people that are mean. And sometimes as Christian people, we can be mean and judgmental and critical, and we can be religious but not godly and not spiritual. You know where that comes from? That comes when we begin to focus our hearts and our minds all on the rules and we forget about the relationship. It's amazing when we get the relationship in order that we begin to be gracious, we begin to be kind, we begin to be gentle, we begin to be loving. Those things begin to be the fruit of our life rather than just, can I keep a bunch of rules or not? And that really is the essence of the Christian message. See, maybe today you've come here today and you've thought, man, I need to come check out this church thing. And you're thinking that being a follower of Christ and being involved in church is really about keeping all the rules. I want to tell you something. The Christian message is actually the exact opposite of that. It's about building a relationship with God through His Son, Jesus Christ. Man, it's a totally different standard. And Jesus took the world and He turned it upside down, and He was greatly criticized for it. But in doing so, Jesus began to liberate people. See, the Christian gospel message is a message of liberty. It's a message of freedom. It's a message of power, because it comes in that relationship. And Jesus says, now come to me. Every person today that's weary and that's burdened is being welcomed and even invited into this relationship with Christ. You know, the problem with religion is it ultimately leads to at least one of two options, and neither one are good. One is it leads to pride. And if you have a strict standard and you're one of the few people that can keep all of the rules, then what do? You become proud of yourself, right? And you think, man, I'm so holy and righteous, and look at all those other people. And I live my life a lot better than they do. So, man, I love God. I'm good, you know? And we pat ourselves on the back a little bit, and we become prideful. But then another option happens. Sometimes it's not just pride, but sometimes it's guilt. We have this standard that we try and live by, and we put the bar, you know, way up here, and ultimately we can only live up to this standard. And so we look at our life and we feel condemnation and we feel frustration. We think, why can't I do better? And I wish I was a better person. I wish I was like she was. And we feel this really this sense of guilt. And guilt and pride are the end byproducts of having this religious mindset. But when we begin to get in relationship with God, then we begin to build this relationship. Then we bring our burdens and we come to Jesus. We bring those to Him. Isn't that great? The problem is, we have to admit that we are weak and that we need help. And we have a lot of excuses for not bringing our problems to Jesus. You know, we say things like, well, I'm too tired, or I don't want to change, or I don't really know if He can help me. And we have our whole list of excuses. But I want to tell you something today. One of the most radical things that could ever happen in your life, one of the most exciting things that could ever happen, is for you to begin to unload your burdens to the Lord Jesus Christ, because you got a relationship with Him. And listen, that's what He's all about. So let's check it out as we continue to move forward here. You see, some of us are struggling with the burden of guilt. Some of us are struggling with the burden of religious expectations. Some of us have children that are rebelling against what we've taught them their entire lives. Others of us are seeing a relationship fail. Others of us hate our jobs. And we have burdens in all shapes and sizes that consume us today. But the good news is we can bring those burdens to Jesus Christ. And notice what 1 Peter 5:7 says. It says, cast all your anxiety on Him, for He cares for you. So the question is, well, how do we begin to come to Jesus, right? Ryan, that sounds great. I'd love to bring my burdens to Jesus, but what does that mean? Well, it begins in prayer. And 1 Peter says that we bring our burdens, our struggles. And that word to cast means literally to like throw. It's the same word that we use in the English language to throw something, to hurl it. And so what we're supposed to do is we're supposed to bring our burdens and we're supposed to throw them. And we're supposed to get rid of them. And how do we do that? Well, we do so in prayer. And we're going to talk a little bit more about prayer in just a minute. But I want to tell you something. Prayer is God's divine coping method. God has given you an amazing opportunity to deal with the burdens of life. And the way that you bring those to the Lord is you do so in the place of prayer. And when you begin to bring those to the Lord and you begin to cast them on Him, then it begins to set you free. It begins to bring liberty. It begins to build that relationship that we've been talking about. But notice what Jesus says as He goes on in verse 29. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. That sounds like pretty good stuff, doesn't it? Jesus is saying, yield to me. He says, come to me. That's invitation. He says, yield to me. That's partnership. That's partnership. Look at it. Well, what is a yoke? What is a yoke? I mean, they use that word there, yoke. And I got a little picture here for you here of a yoke. A yoke is this big wooden type harness that goes around a couple of oxen that were used in the time of the New Testament. And this oxen would be harnessed to maybe a plow or a trailer, or they would pull something. But almost all of the time, animals would be yoked together. Okay, so you hardly ever have an oxen being yoked by himself. You have oxen being yoked together. And that's exactly what Jesus is talking about when He says, take my yoke and learn from me. Now, you have to wonder. In verse 28, Jesus says, if you're weary, come to me. And so you got to think, well, okay, if I'm weary, why do I want to pick up an extra yoke, right? Why do I need the yoke of Jesus? You know, I've already got enough problems. Why do I need to pull Jesus' problems too? It doesn't work that way. When you begin to get into the yoke with Jesus, you got Jesus on one side of the yoke, and then you're in the other side of the yoke, then Jesus begins to do the work. He begins to pull the load. He begins to lighten the load. You begin to allow Him to be the force, the driving force to deal with those problems and those struggles that you have. So Jesus says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. And he says, here, I want to take that burden off of you. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. How is the burden easy and how is it light? Jesus begins to pull the load. And listen, it would be much better to be yoked to Jesus than to be yoked to yourself. You're going to accomplish a lot more in life. You're going to have a lot more joy. Okay, you're going to be able to deal a lot more with the problems you're facing this morning if you're yoked to Jesus. So we got to get in this relationship with him. We've got to get yielded to him, and it comes when we invite him in to be the leader and the Lord of our life. So are you walking by yourself, or are you walking with Jesus? Are you letting him do the heavy lifting, or are you trying to pull the load by yourself? And if you're struggling through life with some kind of burden, I want you to know Jesus is calling you today. He's specifically offering you help. He's specifically offering you an opportunity. It's an invitation. You have to reach out and to take it. And when you get in the yoke with Jesus, then he begins to pull the load. Now, doesn't that sound a lot better than trying to pull the load by yourself? And then he says, I want to give you rest for your souls. And that word rest is an interesting word. It means like an intermission or a vacation or a break. And a lot of times we think, man, I'm so overwhelmed. I need a vacation. I need a break. Well, did you know in the spiritual realm, when you are living in vital relationship with Jesus Christ, it's like being at a vacation. Okay? It's like you begin to relax a little bit. You begin to enjoy life a little bit more. And you begin to take a break. You can kind of catch your breath. You can get a second wind. When I was in high school and college, I was a runner. And used to always run long distance. And I'll never forget, one morning our cross-country coach had us run 19 miles before we went to church that morning when I was in college. And I did a lot of running. We ran in cross-country, ran in track, and I run a lot of miles. And I really don't like running anymore. I think I got my taste of it when I was a little bit younger. If you run that much, it's not really fun anymore. I get on the treadmill for a few minutes a couple of times a week now. But back in the day, I would remember running track, and as we would come around for the final lap of the race, they would shoot the gun. And the gun would indicate it was the last lap, right? And it was such an amazing physical feeling because you would feel totally maxed out. You would feel like you've put everything you have into the race. You feel like you're about to fall over. And then all of a sudden, boom, the gun would sound. And this massive rush of adrenaline would just consume you, and you would end up running faster the last lap than you would any of the other laps before. How could you run when you were tired? Well, it's because that adrenaline rush had kicked in. And when I think about what it means to bring our burdens to the Lord and to yield to him, I think about God giving us strength to continue to run even when we feel exhausted, even when we feel worn out, even when we feel like we can't take another step. There is rest when we are yoked, connected to, in relationship with Jesus Christ. Okay? So Jesus is never promising that life would always be easy. Okay, a lot of times we say, God, please deliver me from these circumstances. You know, Jesus never promised that life would be without conflict or that we wouldn't have struggles. But here's what he did promise. He promised that in relationship with him, that in the middle of life's burdens, that he would provide relief. That in the middle of adversity, he would give us strength. That when we feel like we can't run any farther, that he would give us the adrenaline that we need to press on and to keep after the stuff, even though we feel like we've taken our last step. And that's what it means to be in partnership with Jesus Christ, man. He says, learn from me, for I am gentle and humble of heart, and you will find rest for your souls. You'll find rest for your souls. But he promised this peace in the middle of a storm. And then he goes on and he says, not just come to me, but he says, learn from me. And Jesus says, hey, just a second, guys. I want you to look at me and I want you to learn from me. I want you to watch what I'm doing. I want you to learn from my life. I want you to learn from my ministry. And he says that in verses 29 and 30. He begins to talk about learn from me. Now, in the Christian life, many people get discouraged because they forget that living the Christian life is a learning process. You know, it'd be great if we could just take some pill or drink a protein shake and have these massive spiritual muscles. Would that not be cool? It'd be exciting, wouldn't it? But it takes time. It takes a process. God's maturing us. Listen, some of the circumstances you're going through right now are maturing your faith. And by the way, we're going to be in James chapter 1 next Sunday as we talk about how we begin to grow and to mature in the hard times more than we do even in the good times. And so that's next week. So I hope that you're going to come back and be here for part 4 of our series, Why Worry? But oftentimes we want to grow instantly, but to learn is a process. It takes some time, takes patience. You know, you're not probably just going to walk out of here and never have a burden again. What I hope you'll do is you'll walk out of here and you'll begin to think about the Scripture today in such a way that you'll begin to lighten your load. You'll begin to be a great loser. You'll begin to lose the weight that is constricting you and keeping you from your full potential in Jesus Christ. Now, what did Jesus do? Jesus said, learn from me. What was Jesus talking about? Like, how can we learn from Jesus, right? Sometimes we think, well, Jesus is way up here and I'm over here, so how can I learn from him? Well, one of the great things about the life of Jesus Christ is that Jesus was always praying. All the way through the Gospels, we find the prayer life of Jesus. And let me mention just a few of us to us. In Luke 3:21, Jesus is praying at his baptism. In Luke 5:16, the Bible says he prayed often. In Luke 6:12, he spent the whole night in prayer. You can imagine that. In Luke 9:18, Jesus is praying when he's interrupted by the disciples. Later in that chapter, Jesus is on the Mount of Transfiguration and he's praying. In Luke 10:21, he sent the 72 disciples out to minister. In Luke 11:1, he teaches his disciples to pray. In Luke 22:39 to 46, he's praying while the disciples are asleep and he's about to be arrested. And then in Luke 20:23, Jesus is praying at the crucifixion. That's just the Gospel of Luke. Listen, Jesus, from the beginning of his ministry to the end of his ministry, he was always praying. And listen, if the Son of God saw the need to get on his knees before God and to cry out to him, how much more do we need the place of prayer? You see, this kind of prayer that I'm talking about today is not just something that you say before a meal or not just something that you kind of voice when you're in the car going to work, although I think it's great to pray in the car. There's time where we just need to get alone with God. And if there's one thing that I could tell you that would just throw fuel on the fire for your relationship with Jesus Christ, I would tell you, get alone with God. The place in which we begin to release those burdens, 1 Peter 5, cast all your cares upon me. The way that we begin to do that is we get into prayer and we got to get alone with God. How many times do we begin to pray about things? We pour our heart out to the Lord. We're telling God all this stuff. And we like lay all these burdens down. I mean, we are shedding the pounds, you know. We're praying, praying, praying. And then we stand back up and we go gather up all the burdens that we just let the Lord have. And we put them back in our backpack and then we walk off and we do the same thing. I got convicted in my own life about this a couple of years ago. I was praying about all this stuff, and it was like the Holy Spirit just spoke in my heart and just said, Ryan, you've just taken back everything you've given to me. I was like, oh, wow. Ouch. You know? So when we pray, we get along with God. We do business with God. That's the release, man. And we just have to say, you know, God, I've done everything that I can do, and now I'm just giving it over to you, and I'm going to let you worry about it. Because I'm yoked together with you. And when I'm yoked with you, your burden is easy and your load is light. So I'm going to let you carry the load, Lord. So, man, I want to challenge you today. And if you're not spending some time alone with God, more than anything else, what you need, man, to deal with these burdens is you just need to turn the cell phone off and turn the television off and get away from your email and whatever other kind of distractions may be around. And just go close the door, man, and get on your knees and cry out to God. And begin to cast those cares and just say, Lord, I can't carry these burdens anymore. I want to give these to you, Lord. And just begin to let go of those things. You know what's going to happen? You're going to begin to feel a sense of liberty and freedom that you have never known before. That's what Jesus means when he talks about the rest that we can find in him. Jesus said, "Learn from me." He said, "I am both gentle and humble." And Jesus embraced and he befriended all kinds of people, and the woman, the women that were sick and lepers and people that were prostitutes and extortionists, all those people, those were Jesus' people. Jesus' whole ministry, man, he was spending time with people that were shady. He was, because he was humble and he was gentle. You know what? A lot of times we have this image of the Lord in our mind that God doesn't really love us, or he doesn't really care about us, or he's not really concerned with us because we haven't lived up to all these standards and all this kind of thing. And I want to tell you something. Nothing is further from the truth. God loves you. He cares about you. He's reaching out to you today. He's inviting you to come to him. He's inviting you to come to him and to take those burdens, those things that are consuming you, the things that are weighing you down, and to lay those down before him in prayer, and to walk up and to begin to just walk in freedom and to walk in rest. And I believe God's just beginning to do something really special and really new right here in our time this morning. And I'm excited to see what the Lord's going to do in your life as we begin to live by Matthew 11:28-30. The biggest loser is ultimately the biggest winner. Isn't that good? The biggest loser is the biggest winner. And it's time to drop the weight of our burdens, man, and to just get along with God and lighten that load and say, "God, I want to come to you in prayer, and I want to give these things to you, and then I don't want them back because I'm going to walk in freedom. I'm going to walk in liberty." Hey, maybe today you've never begun this relationship with Jesus Christ, and I'd like to invite you and introduce you to the Savior of the world, Jesus Christ. And I'd like to just lead you in a prayer in just a minute. And in this prayer, you're going to be saying, "Hey, Lord, I know that I have sin in my life. I pray you'd forgive me of my sins. And I'm turning away from sin and self, and I'm embracing a new Lord. Not myself, but the Lord of Lordship of Jesus Christ. And today, by our faith in him and what he did at the cross and the resurrection, the Bible says we begin a new life." So let's just pray together for just a moment. Just nobody moving around, and we can just have everything quiet for just a couple of moments as we do business with God. Today, maybe you're consumed with the burdens of life, man, and today you want to just begin this relationship with the Lord. Would you just pray this prayer with me? Just say, "Lord, I know that I have sin in my life. God, I know I have sin in my life. I pray you'd forgive my sins. Lord, I pray you'd forgive my sins and that you'd make me a brand new person. God, that you'd make me a brand new person. I'm placing my faith in Christ and what he did at the resurrection for the forgiveness of my sins. I'm placing my faith in Christ and what he did at the resurrection for the forgiveness of my sins. And now, Lord, help me to walk with you each day in the Jesus' name. Amen." And while our heads are still bowed and our eyes are still closed, I know there are many of us today that just need strength today and need hope and need encouragement. Let me just pray for you today. Maybe you're a follower of Christ, maybe you're not. But I know that today that there are many burdens in this room. And so let me just say a special prayer for you today. Father, we thank you for the teaching of Jesus that we've studied this morning. And we thank you that, God, we've not been left to live this life just to do life on our own and just to do the best that we can. But, God, you have invited us into relationship with you in such a way that our burdens can be released. And so, God, we give you thanks and we give you praise today for that. And we ask you, oh God, to strengthen us and to liberate us, God, and to help us to take the things that we hold on to and to turn loose of them in order that we can fully engage and fully follow you with all of our hearts. In Jesus' holy name, amen. Amen.